Are you wired or are you being taken?
Oh. I'm something, right? Whatever. I don't have that. I'm wireless like that little puppet.
Yeah.
I love that. Don't you love him?
Yeah.
And when he prances out, I'm free.
I'm free.
I just love it. I love that one. All right. We'll start as we always do. Are you new?
Yeah.
But you know this is a metaphysical teaching?
Well, I don't know much, but I'm very curious about it.
All right. Do I have to, I don't have to explain to you metaphysics then or anything?
No, not too much.
And the title, you know the title is Prosperity and Abundance Including Money. So that's all we need to know. And there's Lisa. All right, let's start as we always do with spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to align ourselves with the mind of the universe. We are taking time to say something wonderful about ourselves so that we can use that to bring into our lives anything that we desire, anything that we want. And I will do this in the first person. And all those that are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. This is absolutely a wonderful life. I am excited. I am thrilled. I am so thrilled to be alive right here and right now because I realize that I live in a supportive universe. I live in a universe where I am one with that universe. And I can use the power of this marvelous universe to bring into my life abundance and prosperity and money and love and joy and happiness. And I do that right now. And I let that be so, and so it is.
So it is.
Does anyone remember when we did the movie Bleep, something or other?
What the Bleep?
And we talked about the hidden power of water.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the hidden power of water?
You probably don't do it.
I remember the things.
Oh,
you hit your hand out.
Has anyone not seen this book?
I haven't seen the book.
You may pass that book around. The reason why I brought that book, if you remember when we talked about the messages in water and what they can do with water, that we are, what, 98% water? Do you remember, of course you do, the tsunami? And do you remember that they said hundreds of thousands of people died, but even hundreds of thousands of more people would die because the water would get contaminated and all those bodies and everything, and that would bring on pestilence and a plague and all that? It's never happened. Do you know why it's never happened? This man sent a team there to pray for the Indian Ocean and all the water.
Wow.
Oh, get goosebumps. He sent a team, and there is no whatever that is. Plague is going on. The water is all right. Now, why do we bring that up? I think it's really wonderful to know. This is the power that you have. This is the power that each and every one of us has, and we have to learn that. And believe that we can do something with it. When you're drinking water, if you just bless that water and know that water is doing something good for you, you don't have to buy designer water. You can make it yourself.
Saves you a lot of money.
Saves you a great deal of money. Saves you a great deal of money. Because we have that power that this whole universe has to listen to us. It just doesn't go out there willy-nilly doing things. But if we wouldn't have done that, if he wouldn't have sent those people, and the belief would have been that there's going to be a plague, we would have gotten a plague. Because it's done that way. That's the way the universe listens and says, those people believe in a plague. So I'm going to send a plague. Not that anyone sends that. please don't think that God sends plagues or the universe sends plagues. God or the universe, which are one and the same, by the way. Do you people realize that? You can't have God and the universe. You can have God as the universe. You can't have God and nature. You can have God as nature. Why is that? Because there's only one power, the power of God. There's nothing outside of God. If there was anything outside of God, we would have what we call duality. And I know that the world teaches duality. It teaches good and evil. It teaches God and the devil. There is no such thing as the devil. Please give up that idea. You know, I know many people who have gone to church for years, but they still think they're going to burn in hell. Now, why would you bother to go to church if you think you're going to burn in hell? And of course, your people probably think all that, don't they?
Right?
They
completely.
And you probably think that, don't you? Give that idea up. That's a horrible idea, and I don't know why they spread that lie, but that's one of the biggest lies that the world has told. One of the biggest lies. You are not going to be punished for anything. If you feel that you're being punished, you are doing the punishing. You are doing it to yourself. The universe and God will never punish you. If you make a mistake, you know it's a mistake right away. I call that instant karma. If you didn't know it was a mistake, you would keep on doing it and be sort of ridiculous. But that does not mean that you've done something wrong. It means you made a mistake. What does it mean? It means you thought wrong. It means you have to change your thinking and get on a different course. That's all. That's all that means. But most people are so stubborn, you know, they won't change regardless. They'll keep that same idea going even though it's never helped them in their life at all. How many people here have thought of the same thing for 30 years? Hasn't changed, has it? It remains exactly the same. You have to change that. Many people are praying that God will change their mind or God will change that. Well, I've got news for you. Won't happen. You have to do it. This thing that we call God or the universe is that polite that it will not interfere with your life, but it will help your life all the time. It will help your life all the time, but you have to learn to think differently and know that that power is there to help you, that you live in a friendly, supportive universe that is always there to give you what you want when you want it. But the world tells you, no, that isn't the way it works. Do not listen to the world. It will get you nowhere listening to the world. Do you remember me saying there's a completely different way to go through life than most people go through life? That's what I'm trying to teach you. That there's a different way to think. There's a different way to go through life. You don't have to go through life like all the other people out there who fall for all the illnesses, fall for all the jealousies, fall for all the hatreds, fall for all the murders and all the stuff that goes on. You don't have to be involved in all that. I don't care if you watch television news up one side and down the other. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. My people in the East keep calling and saying, oh, are you all right? Are you all right? And I said, of course I'm all right. Well, it's all that rains over there. I said, it doesn't matter how much it rains, I'm always all right. I'm not in that. I will not be where my house is falling down the hill. I just won't be there. And that's what you have to know, that you won't be there. You have to know that you're divinely guided. And those things will not happen to you. But the television wants to tell you that it's happening to everyone. Well, you people are all here. Have you slid down the hill or anything? No.
Dennis, do you watch the news?
Oh, yes, I do. But not on a regular basis. And as soon as it's over, what do? I go, not a damn bit of truth in that. You got to go.
go find some more money.
Well, you better.
He reads your book and then he runs away.
Yeah.
See,
so anyway, this thing about there's a completely different way to go through life. On Tuesday, I had to go out to Malibu through the mountains to a camp called Camp Shalom. And then, of course, the man who I was going to see said, well, the roads are passable, but there's mudslides and rock slides and all that. I went anyway. Nothing happened. But I went with two other people, and here's the story. So I was enclosed in this container with them, so there wasn't much I could do. So the one man is talking, and he said he went to the Y, and somebody was parked somehow different than he was supposed to be. So he pulled in and blocked it. He did something. I was only half paying attention. So the guy came out and keyed his car. And he said, I had a hard time. He says, I have a hard time. Now, I'm not having to back up. This is the man who tells me he meditates every morning. You've got to know that part of it. So he said, it was so hard for me to release that, to get that anger out of me and to do this, that, and the other thing. So the guy in the back seat says, well, what did you do? He said, well, I keyed his car. And the guy in the back seat says, I'd have done the same thing and I'd have written on his windshield with spray paint, you son of a blah, 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 and I didn't know it. You see, you can't do that. So I said to him, well, did you ever think of just love and blessing and release it? He said, well, that's too difficult. Yes, these things may be difficult, but they're only difficult because the world is telling you that this is the way things are. If somebody hits you, you hit them back. If somebody keys your car, you key their car. That is why the world is in the shape it's in. That's why we go to war. That's why we do all these things. Now, the main thing I wanted to tell you also about this man who did the keying is 62 years old.
Yay! What a guy.
We don't want to reach to 62 and act that same way. You see, that's the way an adolescent or a child would act. You should get over that as you grow up. Look at it differently. But we don't, because the world says it's okay. The guy in the back seat said, oh, I'd have done even worse. So, you see, they're right in... They're buying into it. It's all right to do things like that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do things like that. But you don't hurt the other person. You just hurt your own consciousness. Mm-hmm. You just hurt your own consciousness doing that. And yes, it wouldn't be a good idea to come out and find your car keyed. But there has to be another way to solve that. So you have to sit down and say to yourself, this is the difficult one. How did I cause this?
He parked
what was
him in.
It? Pardon?
He parked him in. He brought it on himself.
Oh, yes, but he went on because he parked him in. There was something going on in his consciousness that would cause that to happen to him. Nothing happens to you out of chance. It happens to you because out of the way you're thinking, out of the way your consciousness is going. So, even though he meditates and he does all this stuff, something in him is not quite right yet. You know. And I didn't condemn him. I didn't say anything because I thought I'm outnumbered here. And I didn't want to be thrown out of the car. But you can't do that. And you have to look at those things. And if you do it, you don't punish yourself or the other person, but you say to yourself, why did I allow myself to do that? What's going on here? What's going on with my consciousness? Is this coming from my higher self? When I say my higher self, I mean the God within me. You think God goes around keying cars? So So your ego did it. The ego mind did it. And this is where we get into trouble all the time because of this ego mind. We have to get back at somebody. How dare they do this to me? No one's ever doing anything to you. You're doing it all to yourself. No one does anything to you. You do it to yourself. And when we reach that point where we know that, that is the freedom. That is what sets you absolutely free. Because now, you are completely responsible for everything that comes into your life. You're drawing it in. You're doing that. So you look at that and you say, oh, what can I do about that? How can I do something about this? What in my thinking is causing this to happen? What do I have to give up? What do I have to change? And it may be slightly difficult, but it's not all that difficult. When I use the word, learn to love it, bless it, and release it, it becomes easier and easier all the time. But he did not want to do that. His ego mind would not give that up. Oh, that's too difficult. I can't, you know, I have to get back. He has to pay the price for doing this to me. Don't buy into that when you hear your mind saying that to you. Tell it to shut up. You know it's wrong, and you're going to feel awful after you do it. You're going to feel awful after you do it. I heard just today, in fact, a friend of mine called me. In fact, it was Fran, a lady that we stopped smoking together. So we keep in close contact with each other. She has a daughter, Sarah. Sarah has never liked her father. Loathes her father. She recently got a divorce. And she told her mother, she said, I'll never be able to forgive my father, which is a big statement to make. We are able to forgive anything. We are able to forgive anything. The point of that is, you cannot love someone and hate someone at the same time. Now, it doesn't have to be the same person, you're seeing. So she wanted a marriage. She had a marriage and she wanted children. She got her children. But she never liked her husband. There was no love there. I could see that from day one. Why? Because she could not love her father and she could not forgive her father. The relationship ended. She has no idea why it ended. She has no idea why it ended. When I was a minister, and people would come for counseling for before marriage and so forth. And I would always ask them, well, what's your relationship with your parents? And if one of them said, oh, I hate my father or I hate my mother or whatever, I would say, well, you're not ready to get married. You're not ready to get married. And then they would, oh, what? But I love him, I love him. I said, you cannot love and hate at the same time. It's absolutely impossible. But I don't hate him. No, but you hate. So you cannot have that. It will manifest itself. It will manifest itself. And it did when her marriage is ended. But she does not know why until this day. She still doesn't like her father. If there's anyone in your life that you don't like, learn to like them. Learn to love them. When I say learn to like them and learn to love them, it does not mean you have to take them to lunch. You see, and that's where people think, oh, if I love them, they'll move in with me or something. Does not mean that at all. But learn to love everything as much as you can. Learn to love everything as much as you can, but don't run around. How many people run around and you hear say, oh, I hate them? You know, why would anyone run around, you know, all right, I dislike the person or something, but stay away. What I'm saying is don't keep talking about it all the time. Every time you say, I hate somebody, what do you think that's doing to your consciousness? You know, hate, 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 hate. Now, what's the next thing we know about the mind? It never goes outside of itself. When you say, I hate my father, the mind is not here, I hate my father, it hears, I hate myself. You see, we think we're always good, that things are going out. Nothing goes out from you. Nothing goes out from anybody. Go ahead.
I was out of town over the weekend. I was in Las Vegas. And I saw a hypnotist. And he put on an incredible show. And I actually had the smallest lady up there lay across the back of two chairs and stand on her. I mean, it was pretty amazing. And he was part of a seminar that I was in. And that was Saturday night's entertainment. But he came back the next day. And he talked about the mind and the mindset and the programming and the way we program ourselves. And I actually bought some of the tapes, and he was talking exactly about what you were saying and how we program our lives, and we can change it.
Yes.
And it has to be a conscious decision that we make.
Yes.
With affirmations. I'm just blown away by what this guy could do and have people do, but then what he says we can do. And I kept thinking that you need to hear his tapes just because you love him so much. But when you made that comment about hating, he said, you know, he talks about that's a programming that we're doing, that we're guilty of. It's just going to affect everything you do, and you've got to program for the positive, and you can make the change. Even talk like in What the Bleep Do We Know, that you get those grooves in your brain because it's the easy route.
Yes.
And you have to work.
The mind always takes the route of least resistance. Always does it. So it's becoming conscious. It's becoming aware of what we're saying. Not to the world, but to ourselves. You see, there is a saying, don't talk to the world, talk to yourself. We're out there yelling and screaming, the world should be different, this should happen, that should happen. Stay at home within yourself and change yourself. Little by little. You know, you don't have to do it overnight and so forth, but if you want to be in this type of a teaching, if you want to learn how to do this and bring money and prosperity and abundance into your life, it will not come unless you change your mind, unless you change your thinking, unless you start to see yourself differently. What do you see yourself as? The wonderful, wonderful me? You see yourself as lovable, deserving, and worthy of these things. And you see, do you think you would be worthy if you're running around saying, I hate this, I hate that? Doesn't make you worthy, and your mind knows all that. You're always talking to your mind, and you're always staying within there. The mind does not know if I say, oh, I hate him. The mind only knows that you hate yourself. And that feeling of hate that comes up doesn't come up in the other person, does it? It comes up within you. And the life of the organism is feelings. And let's go now with that idea, the feelings, with the mental equivalent. What does Emmett Fox say? You must have warmth of feeling. In order to
not, it's not enough to think it, but you've got to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's on the top of page 13.
See, he's good at it. You must be able to feel. Thinking is great, but it's the feeling that's going to get you what you want. That's the whole idea of the head and the heart. And the head and the heart must relate with each other for a demonstration. But we place more emphasis on thinking and how smart and intelligent we are in the head instead of using this. Everyone realizes that the heart, you know, that they have discovered that there's a small brain in the heart. But there's a book called Heart Math, and there's an organization called Heart Math, and it's scientists who have discovered that your heart thinks. But they're also discovering, you know, that your whole body thinks. You know, it's not just contained. Consciousness, if you think consciousness is contained between your 2 ears, please give that idea up. Consciousness is throughout your entire body. And your entire body thinks. Right now, my kidney's thinking.
Robert Anthony says that when your thoughts and your feelings are in alignment, that the only actions you have to take will reap rewards. I thought that was really powerful.
Yeah, it's the head and the heart must relate with each other. But the heart must take the lead. The heart must take the lead. And you can prove that the heart is more powerful than the brain, because you can be brain dead, but the heart keeps beating. See? But if your heart stops, your mind, your brain immediately goes. So the heart is the main thing in our body, but we do not know that either. We have it. The ancients years ago knew that. That's why we have in our cultures, in every culture across the globe, they say, how do you feel? Let your heart show you the way. Does it make your heart happy? See, we have all these things in our language, but we have no idea what they mean, do we? Can anyone think of anything else that we say about the heart all the time? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. So it's here, you have to think. And that's feeling, that thing, that heart, is your feeling and so forth. Not your head. The heart will never talk you out of anything. Your intellect, your mind will talk you out of things.
This past week, didn't they have a new finding medically that the heart literally, when we've said, I have a broken heart, that there's something akin to what you're saying,
yes,
that they medically,
yes,
prove that it does.
There is such a thing as a broken heart. When we say a heart cannot be broken, it can be broken, your heart. But that's done with the mind. That's done with your thinking. You see. And that destroys the heart. But you want to remember that. You want to remember about your whole body, but it's thinking, and that each thing in there is a wonderful thing. And it's doing wonderful things for you. Instead of saying, oh, I have this or I have that, you know. You have to give thanks for everything, your heart, your kidneys, and your lungs, and all that. I think it's absolutely marvelous, don't you know, that these things, you see, the mind and the world wants to put things on a hierarchy, right? Well, the brain's more important than my big toe. But it's not. You see? So, you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because those little cells in your body and so forth who decided to be very nice and say, okay, I'll be the heart. I'll be the liver. If they weren't that nice and did that, there would be a battle all the time for the liver cells to say, no, I think I want to be a brain. You see? So you have to love them for what they are, and don't say, oh, that's just my toe, or that's just a fingernail, or that's, oh, well, who needs that kidney? You know? You can't do that to yourself. I do a wonderful meditation where we do, oh, I love my kidneys. Oh, I love my kidneys. And why do we want to love our kidneys and that along with our other things, the kidneys? Because we want to flush out all the toxins and so forth. We want them to work to get rid of stuff for us. So you have to do all that. Okay. Does anyone sound familiar with Carolyn Meese?
Yeah.
What's your last name?
Carolyn Meese.
M-Y-S-S?
M-Y-S-S.
Someone just told me about her this week.
There you go. She wrote a couple years ago, 5, 6, maybe 8 at the most, a book called The Anatomy of the Spirit. Wonderful book. Carolyn Meese is a medical intuitive. Mm-hmm. I don't think she does that as much of that anymore, but that's how she started. And what is a medical intuitive? Doctors used her when they couldn't find out what was going on with somebody. She could pinpoint where the problem was and why it was happening, and then these people would be able to release that. It's a very lovely lady, and if you want to read that book, of course she has lots of books out now, but I brought this in because it says, follow your mind and observe where it goes to feed itself. To feed itself. A wonderful thing. Remember, I always say you must become a witness to your own thinking. Mm-hmm. So let's see where your mind goes. And where does it go to feed itself? Now that means several different things, and we'll see if we can do it for you. Your mind will always go to feed itself on something. The man in the car who was saying that, his mind went, because he was into hate, it went to feed itself with that hate, with an action. You see, it had to go, it had to feed itself. That feeling has to feed itself. So if you have a feeling that you want money, and that money and prosperity is in your life, and it's always there and so forth, your mind has to go to that to feed itself. Isn't that wonderful? You people, don't you get excited? I always get excited. I love that idea, that the mind goes to feed itself. And you know that, don't you, when you start to think about something? Doesn't your mind keep bringing things up? Doesn't it keep feeding on that and show you, you know? And it usually you can figure it out when it's negative. Your mind loves that because it'll bring up everything. But the positive, it does also. And it'll go and find how to feed you with that. It's a wonderful thing that we can learn to do. All this stuff that I'm talking about, people have been talking, we call this, you know, new thought. Do you know new thought is over 2,000 years old? But yet we think we just discovered it. No, it's been around forever and a day. But we don't teach it. The world doesn't teach it. The world doesn't want to hear about that. Because the world is into turmoil. It's into chaos all the time. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Remember, one of the master teachers, Jesus said, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. And we are not. We are not. Now, I don't know my chemistry. I sort of forgot my chemistry. Do you remember I talked to you once about Greg Braden? Greg Braden is an author also. He wrote a book called The God Code. And he does seminars and so forth. Wonderful person. And this whole thing that you're in the world, but you're not of the world, what is that? We know that we're carbon-based creatures, right? Organisms, whatever they call it, beings. Carbon-based. So, but I forget what the rest of them are. Hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon, something. But the other things in the world are not. So you see, we're not of this world. Which must mean we come from someplace.
What was the name? What was the name of the book again?
The God Code by Greg Braden. He's written other books. but that's what I have if you want to read. He studies ancient. Oh, he studies the Dead Sea Scrolls and a lot of the Essenes. Does anyone know who the Essenes were? He does a lot of work with that. Now, many people think you know that Jesus lived with the Essenes and learned a great deal from the Essenes. And it makes sense because they are saying the same things that he said. So it all boils down to our thinking. So we have to learn to think better about ourselves. Better about ourselves. Let's see, I'm running them out left and right. So it's in the consciousness. It's this whole thing of witnessing and being aware, being detached, so that you can see what you're doing and what's going on around you. And then change that so that you realize that this really is a wonderful, friendly universe, that we truly are living in paradise. See, I've maintained that for years. We've never been thrown out of paradise, especially here in Southern California. And even with the rain, it's still paradise. The world is a wonderful place to live in, you know. People say to me, oh, it's so hostile. The world is awful. I say to them, move to the moon. You want a hostile environment. Live up there a while. See what goes on. You see, a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. Think about that. A world that can produce these beautiful, delicate flowers and so forth, how could it be hostile? It could not be hostile. Does anyone here think that the world is hostile? Hostile. Hostile. I got it. Hostile. Does anyone? Good. Oh, you do?
No, I was thinking, do you think all that negative thinking comes from fear?
Well, we can say that it comes from fear, but that's what the world teaches. The world teaches fear. The world teaches failure. It doesn't teach success. The fear that we feel, yes, we're in thought atmospheres and so forth. But what is there to fear? What is there to fear? Does anyone know? There's nothing to fear. If all is God and you're part of God, what is there to fear? The mind likes to tell you, the ego mind likes to tell you there's something to fear. But there's nothing out there to fear. What did you say?
George Bush.
Well, instead of fearing George Bush, let's start loving George Bush.
I just want to say, I guess the world's, this is progress for me. The world is what you believe it is. If you think it's hostile, it's hostile. If you think it's, so I'm at least getting there a little bit.
Why don't you say you're already there? Stop this damn getting there. You know, take credit, but you're there. And that was wonderful what you just said, and it is absolutely true. It's always done unto you as you believe. And the world is always what you make it. Your reality is what you make it. Because we're making reality all the time. And each of us do it individually. But it looks like a collective type thing because the world teaches us to think the same. But we are doing it. We are creating the reality. We're doing all of it. We make everything. But we think something else is happening. How many times have I told you? We make the weather. And we do. We make everything. So think about that, how powerful you are. And you Susie. If you sit around thinking that you're rich and the money is always surrounding you, rather the appearance at the present moment is that it isn't. You must never judge by that appearance. You must sit and know that you're completely prosperous and that money is there. If you sit and do that, your reality has to become that. Just has to become that. How many people, well, you're all still doing your affirmations, aren't you? Yes. Affirmations will absolutely pan out for you. They will absolutely come true. Good question? No?
I'm curious about resistance. Do affirmations help with that? Because that's...
Resistance to what?
I wouldn't be here. Just like, you know, when you... For the head and the heart to match, the feeling, you know, I'm in that conundrum, and it's like I know, I hear it, and it comes up, and then I go, oh God, you know, and then in the last week, 2 weeks, I can't tell you how many times during the day I said, I am of God, I am of God, I am of God, because to get me through, otherwise I'm in that dark place again. It's like, oh, Jesus. And I know it's resistance, but it's just like, enough. Intellectually, I know.
Well, why don't you love, bless, and release the resistance? Love that part of you and let it go.
As a whole, because sometimes I don't recognize it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I don't, you know, it's there and I'm guided, or not guided by it, but I'm functioning with it, and then I go, oh, what do I do? Oh, God, geez, you know.
Yeah. Well, don't say, oh, my God, and Jesus, and so forth. Say, oh, look
well,
what I noticed. Isn't this wonderful? And I can change this.
Yeah.
And don't get frustrated. Learn to lay a pattern. Learn to know that it's a journey that you're on.
Yeah.
You're learning something, and you're having fun doing it. And just have fun doing it. I make blunders all the time, but I laugh at them.
Yeah. I do that most of the time.
Good.
It just gets frustrating.
But stop thinking that there's a resistance
mistakes.
There.
Over and over and over. It's like for years, and I'm tired.
All right, then say, from now on, I make no mistakes. My life runs smooth and orderly. It runs smooth and orderly because I know perfectly well that I am one with God, and God's life runs smoothly and orderly. Therefore, my life must run smoothly and orderly.
Let's keep saying that.
And I am delighted that this is so.
And I just realized the I am of God is an affirmation.
Well, absolutely.
It's not just like a little reminder. It's
all right. Since she said that that's an affirmation, do you people realize that everything you say is an affirmation?
Sure. Yeah.
There's no such thing as not an affirmation. I don't feel good. I'm tired. Oh, the traffic's bad. Oh, this is that. They're all affirmations. And people, no one here is having trouble with traffic anymore, are they? No. Oh, you too? Because
but I left early. It took me an hour and a half to drive here because cold water. Oh, are you on this side? No, Santa Monica here 1.5 hours. Yeah, because cold water's closed, so everyone was coming over to Beverly Bend.
Oh,
it
was from Long Canyon.
I'm finding a new twist to this resistance thing. I don't know who originated this, but Wayne Dyer says, change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Yes.
And instead of sort of denying my resistance and sort of trying to push it, just kind of go, ah, there you are again.
What you deny will stay with you.
Yeah.
Anything that you try to force out will stay there.
What you resist persists.
Yes.
I wasn't here last week, but I think the week before you were.
We noticed that. It's marked down, isn't it? You took last week.
You were talking about loving your enemy the week. Was
yes.
It the week before?
Yes.
Just
I
quickly,
hope you talk about that.
I just wanted to report that I went out to dinner when I got home, and the person that I was thinking of when you said love your enemy was in the restaurant. And I literally was like doing that like mantra over and over again. I got seated next to her in the restaurant. And finally, at the end of our meals, because it was sort of at the same time, we started talking and we had a really nice conversation, and which is unusual for me to be nice to her. And so it was just kind of this weird serendipitous thing.
Let's back up and say it wasn't weird.
Okay.
And this is the way the universe works. You see, you were thinking about her when I said that you thought of somebody that was an enemy. Somebody
I immediately thought of her.
Am I good? Or what? So, because you were thinking about her, she appeared in that restaurant. There's no such thing as chance or accident. She appeared in that restaurant for you to clear your consciousness one more time. You see? And now, how did you feel after that? You thought, well, this is pretty good.
I went home and I called a bunch of people because I felt so good.
Yes.
You know?
And you do feel good with things like that. Well, good for you. But
yeah.
No, the serendipity and all that stuff. Don't do that to yourself, because there's no such thing as chance or accident. What you think about, you bring about. You thought about her, and she came about. So if you can do that, you see how powerful you are to draw her into your reality, then you can draw anything into your reality. You see? And let's talk about traveling here from Santa Monica. First of all, when you get in the car, you have to realize that your way is made clear, that you are divinely guided, that you will always turn the right way, that the road will be clear for you. But you got in and judged by appearances, I'm sure. So, this is something.
Well, it was a funny thing, because usually I am not. But I got in the car and thought, okay, I'm going to drive there easily. And the minute I got on that 405 ramp, more traffic than I ever seen. It was extraordinary. And then I go like, oh, traffic moves easily for me, and the car would move about 4 feet. So
you start out again and you try it to what works.
Yeah, I kept trying to do the same technique on the sold out concert as on the traffic.
Well, it's the same, it may not be the same technique, but it's the same power. So you have the one down, but you don't have the other one down yet. And you'll figure out how to do that.
Did you get here on time, though?
But I did get here on time.
Well, there. That's what counts. Always say to yourself, I arrive on time. And it'll work. But traffic, you'll notice the traffic will do what you want it to after a while. Yeah.
I've been trying to do this with auditions, and it's not working. I shouldn't say it's not working. Well, it is. I mean, well, it's doing what I think it's not. Never mind. I'm going to auditions thinking I will get the job, or the job is mine. I'm seeing that love. And then when I don't get it, I'm ready to kill myself. And that's not a good way to be. But something happened. Can I tell you what happened Saturday? Something happened Saturday that was amazing. I was feeling sorry for I was feeling sorry for myself. I was in the shower. And I said, God, if you're there, send me a sign. And electricity went off in my complex, immediately. And not only that, but several blocks, and stayed off for the rest of the day till around 5 or 6 that night.
And you were all soaked up.
Well, it didn't affect the water. It just affected electricity.
All right, first of all, we take out of our vocabulary the word try. It's an absolutely useless word that does nothing. It will not stimulate you in any way, and it does nothing. It's a mind trick. The mind likes to say, try, because then you don't have to do anything. You can say, well, that didn't happen, but I tried. You see. So, no. Now, tell me about your auditions. Do you send your spirit ahead?
I did. I went there. Everything worked out fine. At work, I could go there and... I felt like I'd surprised myself and did a good job, but afterwards I had that real sinking feeling, and I didn't get a call back, and I didn't get the job.
Well, why couldn't you afterwards have had an uplifting feeling and know that the phone was going to ring and you were going to get the job? But you had a sinking feeling, which said, I'm not going to get the job.
My body's going like that now.
Sinking feeling. Who would hire you? No one. You see, don't do that to yourself. Don't do it. And I realize, I mean, I make jokes of this, but it may be a little difficult because you're used to sitting on the pity pot.
Yeah,
get off the pity pot. It won't get you anywhere.
Yeah. I guess I have this thing like, Wesley and I went off to the same audition. We both are sending.
You get it.
Yeah, we're both sending out this love to the same place. I mean, I guess my mind likes to analyze what I need to utilize, not analyze. But is it?
Well, all right, let's look at that because there's another little thing that the mind loves to do. Remember this whole thing that we think Bill Gates has all the money, so therefore we can have it. He thinks that if both of them go, he's going to get it and you're not.
But we're both thinking the same thing.
Because there's only one, because there's only one role. Or you're both praying to the same God. Now, what's God going to do?
Right.
Oh, I think I like Wesley better.
You're right about that.
God is faster.
But if I get it, then God likes me better. But, you know, I mean, you
know. Actually, God's already cast us as
unicorns.
Whatever we're acting out right now.
No,
probably
I need to hear this, though, but thank you. I mean, I'm just bringing it up because it's an issue that's...
Oh, no, I agree, and a lot of people think that. So you're both praying to the same God, and he gets a job and you don't. Therefore, God must like him better. It has nothing to do with it, people. God loves everyone exactly the same. Even if you were a murderer, God likes you. You know, people ask me, where's Hitler? Hitler must be in hell. Hitler's in heaven. You'll meet him.
How can I say what I want to say? If this kind of gnaws at me, I have my buried dreams that have been broken, and it's like, oh, well, if I start coming to Dallas and I'm going to entitle myself to just, you know, if I really understand this and it becomes part of me, but then this little reality comes up. It's like, well, if you think old dreams that were unrealized because you were not believing in yourself, you know, might still be there, still have a chance, maybe the fact that you ever thought that was based on the old you. I mean, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
I think I do.
The me that wants to be an actor or a painter or a pianist.
That's the design.
And it's dead. It's like cauterized. All those creative things are cauterized. It's like now I'm on a, gee, you know, I've gotten so old and I still am going to have a sprout of dream. And I go back to that. Maybe the point is that was an immature dream. It was a broken dream. It was an unrealized person that decided I needed that to have someone love me. And if I really believed what you're teaching me, maybe I don't need to have the spotlight. Maybe that's false. And then I get really tangled. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
Why don't you make an affirmation? I'm always in the spotlight. That the camera is always on me. And let's go back to this thing about broken dreams. There's no such thing as broken dreams. Dreams may change and so forth, but dreams are never broken. Now, if you had a child and you gave the child an ice cream cone just before he was able to take a lick of the ice cream cone, you would rip it out of his hand. And you see, you're saying, that's exactly what you're doing with God. You're saying, God ripped this away from me. You're saying, God doesn't rip anything away from you. You changed. You decided that that wasn't going right. It wasn't doing this. You can do it at any age. Age has nothing to do with it. Give that idea up that you're aging. By the way, today's my birthday. I'm trying to get it as a national holiday. Yes. And I just turned 62 today. So I am, you know, I have no intentions of slowing down, quitting, or doing anything.
You weren't the car key.
Okay, I was just going to say, you weren't the.
You weren't the key car. The key car.
You're a 62-year-old.
No.
We going to Mexicali for margaritas?
If I drank. So anyway, don't do that. What's happening to you, along with you, is you're allowing your mind to do this to you. So your mind will just spit all that garbage up, and that's all that is. And your mind is talking you out of that. So why don't you talk yourself back into it and know that you do have talent, your dreams are still there, and it doesn't matter when they manifest, they will manifest for you.
The dreams are valid?
Well, dreams are absolutely valid.
What about if they're ego-driven as opposed to...
Well, give me an ego-driven dream.
Well, people, oh my God, in this town, people who come here because they you know, to be famous as opposed to loving the craft of communicating a story or, you know.
Well, then if that's called ego-driven, do these people fulfill?
No. Sometimes.
Need I say
temporarily or whatever. Yeah, I mean, if you're attached, if your ego is attached to the end result. Just because, I mean, I know that I went through some changes with you know, goals, and I was like, you know what, I don't think that means anything to me. And I realized, oh, it was because of how I felt about myself, and I needed some sort of outside confirmation that I was a decent person. And once I figured that out, I was like, yeah, you know, I stopped looking for it outside. And that need, that desire, that hunger, like, I don't even know, I'd never even noticed. It was like, oh, my God, I don't even know what is that I don't feel anymore? Oh, my God. And my goals have changed, and it's more about
my heart. Well, our
goals
are going to change constantly. Things are going to happen to us. But don't give up on anything, or don't think that you're, you know, that you want to suffer because of this. No. Mm-hmm. Wesley said the other thing. He knew that he wanted money. And if it wasn't coming from his acting, he was going to get it through real estate.
Got to get it somewhere.
And he was willing to change that. Most people are not willing to change their thing. 10 to 1. Since he's done that, his acting career is going to take off.
Well, on the same subject, you know, the dreams, for me, the dreams I have, sometimes I don't know how to get there. I still believe in them, but I don't know what kind of route to take.
All right, say, then you say, I see my dream, I know my dream is there, I know my dream is going to manifest itself. I have no idea how to get there. But I know that God does. You see, we don't have to do everything ourselves, people. How many times have I told you I'm fun and entertainment, God is ways and means, and I don't tamper with him and he doesn't tamper with me? Learn to have fun, learn to enjoy, learn to know that the universe, or this thing we call God, is always beside you, is always with you, is surrounding you all the time, and is helping you with everything that you want. But we think we have to do it all ourselves. Well, if I have somebody else that can do anything, I allow them to do it. You know, I allow them to do it. But I'm going to back up a moment and make sure that everyone is clear on the idea that if two people go out for the same role, one gets it and one doesn't, does not mean that God likes you more. What that means is that that role was not for you, but one is around the corner for you, that God will do that for you, that the universe will do that for you. But people get very upset and they say, oh, that was the only role, that was the best role in my life. How many people thought it was the best role in their life, and a week later something much better came along? You must always realize that you're moving from your good to your greater good. That things are coming for you, coming to you. And that God does not show favorites. Please. God is incapable of showing favorites. We are all loved equally. We are all loved equally. We are all the beloved in whom this universe is well pleased. We are all absolutely wonderful. You people are wonderful. I am wonderful. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Happy birthday.